Blog Talk Radio.
As we proceed to give you what you need, as we proceed to give you what you need.
This is the one Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie.
That's right, Cy Brown on politicsremix.com.
Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown, and today, you know what we do on Tuesdays, we talk politics. Politics for the full show. A lot of stuff is jumping off. I mean, we already know that there's a microscope that's being placed over our esteemed president, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama. And some of it, you know, justly so. Our country right now is in a very, very jacked up position and situation. But on the same note, let's give him a break. You know, let's fall back a little bit. What is it? 30 days, 31 days, 37 days. I'm sure somebody out there has been specifically counting. I'm sure Rush Limbaugh has been specifically counting. And today we're going to get into a little bit about what he said, what he has said, what Michael Steele has said, and I'm totally baffled and frankly quite pissed as to why Michael Steele felt compelled to apologize. But anyway, that's further down in today's show, but that's definitely what I'm talking about today, because when I heard that this morning, I was laying down. You all know I'm turning into a night person. I have to start to transition into a night person because nobody's conducting business at 5 and 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning. I just am inherently a morning person. I want to get up, start my day. But by 10 o'clock, I'm beat, and I wake up in the morning, and I'm getting emails at like 11:30, 12 o'clock. I'm like, Dad, shouldn't everybody be in the bed by now? But I guess that comes really for the most part from me being raised by my grandmother. You know, old people, early to bed, early to rise. But anyway, it serves you no good in the business world. But, yeah, you know, I was laying down at the 7 o'clock hour, and when I heard on Morning Joe that Michael Steele apologized, I started having heart palpitations because I just could not believe it. Get a spine, Michael Steele, from Cy Brown to Mr. Steele, who is now the head of the RNC. Please get a spine. And I have my opinions as to why he apologized and a few other things, but, you know, I don't even know what to say. It's an embarrassment as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not even a card-carrying Republican, although my husband and I share extremely conservative views on many fronts. But big shout-out to Tavis Smiley, who was on the Today Show at the 7 o'clock hour. You know, those media people out there who happen to listen to my show, know that that 7 o'clock hour is it, and I'll tell you every day I watch Morning Joe from the time I wake up until 7 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock I watch the Today Show. I love Matt Lauer. Can't figure out why Meredith Vieira always seems to be tilting into the camera, but anyway, and then I flip back to Morning Joe. But anyway, to have a guest on in that 7 o'clock hour is very significant. So I think it was very good. Kudos on the Today Show for putting Tavis Smiley on at that 7 o'clock hour. Another thing, too, he's black. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. Usually the only talking heads that I really see is Roland Martin on CNN. Brazil, who I absolutely love. They're on CNN. Fox has their little puppets. But, you know, NBC, that whole NBC conglomerate, NBC, CNBC, MS, they're very cordial, I believe, to women and to minorities. So big shout out to them. Wow, we have a busy chat room already. This is great. I mean, I'm looking at True and Curvy Queen and Dropping Seed and Steamy Trails. Thank you for joining us, Hospitality Diva. Dropping Feed Radio said, I just finished reading an article on this subject. You all know I am so opinionated, and I itch for Tuesdays to come because politics is my second love. God is my first, and politics is my second. And so I love Tuesday shows. I do not have a guest today. You are hearing Cy Brown for the full hour. If Rush Limbaugh can spew what he spews for 4 hours or 3 hours, however long he's on the radio, I can get it in for the time that you guys allow me into your space. So I've got some good stuff for you all today. It looks as though I have a caller from the 904 area code. Caller from 904, do you have a question, a comment? How can we help you today? Caller from 904, you're on the air with Cy Brown. Today is politics for the full hour. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Max. I'm calling from Georgia.
Hey, what's going on? Did you have a question or a comment, or are you just hanging out with us?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you. You proclaim that the black people on Fox News are puppets. I want to ask you, why are they puppets? I mean, does everybody have to agree with a certain ideology?
Absolutely not. And I did share at the top of the show that I have extremely conservative views. My husband and I chuckle at times because I've been conservative for pretty much my entire adult life, and I'm pretty much pro-business, which definitely leads us to be more conservative. But when you watch Fox, some of the incendiary things that they say and some of the things that they spew, it just blows my mind that they're able to say things like that on the air. And let's even take it to the New York Post cartoon that ran about 10 or 12 days ago where they shot a monkey. Now, I'm in New York, so I understand the connotation behind the monkey in Connecticut that attacked a woman, and they had to shoot it. But I think putting that monkey in the context of politics and using a political comment speaks to their insensitivity as it relates to people of color. And I think the people of color that get on Fox News are very disingenuous.
But what you have to understand, I'm not going to say what you have to understand, but what I'm saying is the way I see that New York Post thing was that it was very racist intent, but it's still freedom of speech at the end of the day, and people protesting against it isn't going to solve anything when you think about it. And the people on Fox News, yeah, they may say what they say, but one thing I respect about them is they don't care what anybody thinks. They say whatever they feel or think. That's what I like about them.
Well, I watch Fox. I will share with you, I watch Fox because I like to hear the ridiculous things that they say so I can get on the air and speak my piece. You have to know what your enemy is speaking, and I definitely view Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, the New York Post as my enemy because they are saying things that are very hurtful towards this country right now. I watched Erin Burnett this morning and Jim Cramer share that a lot of what's going on is consumer confidence, and to a certain degree that's absolutely true because I was one of the first people in September that went to the bank and snatched all of my money out of the bank. And I encouraged all of my listeners to do the same thing. I said, because you don't know how low this is going to go. However, when you look at what they're saying and look at all of the directions that they're going in, I can't just accept this as free speech. There's a lot more to it.
I could accept this as free speech because that's what kind of country we live in. We live in a republic where anybody can say what they want. But
do you think that's right, to be able to say whatever you want? Then comes the morality barometer. We have to have a moral compass at some point. We have to have some gauge of what is over the edge. And allowing two police officers to shoot and kill a monkey with a political connotation to it, I think is very irresponsible.
So where were all you people when they were comparing George Bush to apes and monkeys? I've seen that everywhere, in every store, every magazine you can think of. I've seen it, and I've seen it on shows, too, where they compare Bush to Hitler and everything.
I was somebody that said we should pray for our president and encourage our president. Whether I believed in George Bush's policies or not, I think we should still support our president. He has been the appointed leader at that time. He was the appointed leader of this country, even though I did not agree with one thing that came out of George Bush's mouth. I think he was a total I'm trying to think of the most politically correct word, because he was the president of this country. I just think he was an idiot, basically. Let's call it what it is. I think George Bush was an absolute idiot. However, at that time, he was our president, and I wanted us to succeed in Iraq, so I supported our president, not with my vote, but I did not speak ill when everybody was coming up with these cartoons comparing George Bush to a monkey. I didn't support that either. Whether I liked him or not, he's what we had at the time. And I think that's just because there's a certain level of respect that goes along with him being the president of our country and the leader of our country. And I thought it was wrong then, and I think it's wrong now.
I think Bush was actually a brilliant person. Everybody
you
calls
serious?
Him an idiot. Yes, you know why? Because he
why?
Did he
I
did
need
a,
to
he,
hear
he
this.
Did.
I need to hear this. Tell
he
me
did
why.
Every because for one he's not paying for the bailouts, none of the bailouts which
awesome.
Is what we're paying. For two, he had brainwashed all of us into thinking that $2 at the pump is actually cheap. That's for two. For three, he's actually getting a cut with Halliburton for going to the war in Iraq. Because Halliburton has set up bases there, which is why I wish that they did fail in Iraq. And for five, he's actually written some executive orders that exempt him from being prosecuted for war crimes. And for six, he went home to a mansion when Barack got sworn in. So he was very brilliant, very.
You know what? Looking at it from that perspective, I guess I have to agree with you. It's all a matter of perception, and I guess looking at it from that way, yeah, I guess you're right. I think he single-handedly destroyed this country, and I think we let it go. I think we allowed it. Too many people allowed it to happen. I was one of the first people that was so set. If you go back to my archive shows, you will hear I was very much against any type of bailout for any bank. We live in a capitalistic society, at which point if your business fails, it needs to fail. I'm a business owner. Where was my bailout? Maybe I didn't employ as many people as GM or AIG, but where's my bailout? I had to close my business down. I struggled and suffered.
This was a corporate agenda. That's what it really was. And when you when you get down to the nitty gritty, you know some of that money went off to offshore corporations in Africa, Europe, Asia. So this was all a corporate agenda, which is why people need to get involved on the local and state level to make sure everything's going on great in their states instead of waiting on federal government to do everything for them.
Well, that's one of the things, one of my biggest complaints when President Barack Obama was running for office. My listeners will share with you, I was very critical of people that just went behind President Obama, well, at the time, candidate Barack Obama, just supporting him, I felt, blindly. I said, nobody knows what he stands for. Let's really look at the nitty-gritty and support it. Churches were rallying, getting bus rides and this and that, but they wouldn't even go to their local school board election. I went to the PTA meeting at my son's school, and it wasn't even in English. It was in Spanish, and when I addressed it, why is this PTA meeting in Spanish, they said, because there's not enough people that would warrant us having this PTA meeting in English. I was appalled.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but yet everybody is getting on buses to go follow Barack Obama around the country. I was very angry about that.
Yes, and, I 100% agree. And what I didn't like about this election myself was that it was bringing out too many people who didn't know nothing about issues. And another thing is with his election, you're right, a lot of people ignored more serious issues that's going on around the country, like, for instance, in Miami. Did you know that the mayor in Miami tried to make Spanish the official language in Miami?
Are you serious?
But the state senate wouldn't allow it. They couldn't have allowed it anyways. But he tried to.
Well, I actually read yesterday that the average let me get my language correct. That typically at the border in those southwestern states, the United States deported between 600,000 and 700,000 illegal immigrants. Caught, detained, and attempted to deport between 600,000 and 700,000 immigrants. It's now down to about 100,000. These numbers are staggering. People ain't even trying to get into our country anymore. They're like, oh, there's no jobs there. Why am I even going to come there if there's no jobs there? Let me read some stuff that's going on in the chat room. Thank you so much for calling in today, and I would like for you to stay on the line because you have very interesting perspectives, and I would like to put a couple more topics out there. I just read and I want to get back to this Michael Steele issue because I have so much to say about it, that George Bush raped this country and made money doing it. The CEO of Blackwater resigned today, quitting before he gets in trouble under the new administration. And now the Republicans are trying to repackage the same old mess with putting Jindal up to bat. First of all, Jindal is a mess. That was the worst.
I
mean, I can't even. This is what I'm saying, though. I couldn't even. I wouldn't even. You all know I am an ardent lover of hip hop. I grew up in hip hop. I love hip hop. I love the swagger. And every Friday, I try to find the cleanest old school hip hop music. Once in a while, a curse comes in there, so we can jam on Friday. But you know what? As a grown woman with children, I can no longer big up and represent and say I am hip hop. And that's really how I feel about the Republican Party right now. When we have people like Sarah Palin, Michael Steele, who does not have a spine, and Bobby Jindal being the face of the Republican Party, I can no longer say I am Republican, even though I'm not. But this is bizarre. This is the best that you have, and I think it was very patronizing for the Republican Party to give Michael Steele that position. That was a blatant attempt to try to sway black people. I think they think we're
a lot
dumber than we look.
Mm-hmm. It shows you how out of touch they are.
They're extremely disconnected to what people want and to how people feel. And you know something, you know, my stepfather is white, so I grew up in a biracial home. He happens to be very liberal, but when we look at the Conservative Party, now there's the new name to it. They're called the Conservative Party. They're even trying to rebrand themselves and not even call themselves Republicans anymore. They want to call themselves the Conservative Party. But if you have a party of all white men, and white men are going to be the minority in this country within, I believe by now, it's about 17 years. What in the world is a party going to be made of? And then when you have people like Michael Steele, see, this is why I like George Bush. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. I like George Bush for this reason. He stood by whatever decision he made, hook or crook. He didn't care if it was right, wrong, or indifferent. He said, this is my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. Michael Steele doesn't even have the spine to do that.
Yep.
He backed down to a radio personality, granted a very powerful one, but if you're the head of the RNC, your arsenal is supposed to be stronger than Russia's. And that he just disempowered himself to the nth degree, apologizing to Rush Limbaugh. So not only does that have a racial connotation, a black man bowing down to a white man, you're supposed to be the head of the whole party and you're bowing down to a radio personality. Very disrespectful, very embarrassing, and I have no respect for Michael Steele. None at all.
And you might as well put Rush Limbaugh as the head of the Republican Party. It seems like he's speaking up for them. And I was reading your description. You asked, is he relevant? I'm going to say no. Just by him being such a huge supporter of Bush, he's very irrelevant. Because you see, these Republicans are complete hypocrites, and they go against their own concepts. Because Bush, everything Bush did, they still sit up here and defend him. When Bush made government larger, which is something that they're basically against. For example, like the 9/11 thing. I mean, I agree that it is a conspiracy that to think that the government would do that, but it's just that when you tell Republican that, they jump all over you like white on rice. And but yet, according to the Constitution, you're not supposed to believe in government. So I'm just floored by them, really.
Well, we have to look at it this way. D.L. Hughley on Saturday night on CNN, on his show, D.L. Hughley Breaks the News, said that Rush Limbaugh is the de facto leader of the Republican Party. Michael Steele sat there thumping his chest like Tarzan and says, no, I'm the leader of the Republican Party. And so now, when he turns around, not even 48 hours later, apologizes for what he said, I go back to what I say, he has no spine. But one reporter was saying how the Republicans were twittering during President Obama's unofficial State of the Union speech last Tuesday night. Just for all of you listening, yes, I am on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/Life Remix. So, yes, I am on Twitter. And if anybody's on Twitter, please put it in the chat room so we can all follow each other. But the point is this. When we look at the Republican agenda, they have no agenda. They have no representation. They have no agenda. And they're really lost. And Michael Steele, I believe, is wasting the opportunity to present new ideas and suggestions to help grow the party. I know my husband and I, we tell our son, we don't want you standing on the corner. So we provide options and alternatives for our teenagers to not stand on the corner. The Republicans are bashing President Obama at every turn, but yet they're not providing any alternatives. And I'm sitting on my seat waiting for an alternative because by my nature, I'm kind of conservative. What is that? Did I lose my – I think I lost my caller. Okay, I lost my caller. Sorry about that, everybody. I thought he was there to respond. I did lose my caller, but it's all good. What's up? Let me say hi to everybody that's in the chat room. What's up, Precise from Chicago, Sandy in Ohio, True in Cali, Curvy Queen in Jersey, Dropping Seed in Tennessee, Steamy Trails. Let us know what state you represent. We have a lot of so much of the country represented on the show today. This is great. We've got Ohio, Chicago, California, Jersey, Tennessee. This is nice. I love it. I love it. I love it. Steamy Trail says Rush is a racist, point blank. You know what it is? They have a platform, and they use their platform. They have Rush Limbaugh and a host of other people pushing their agenda along. And what I think it really boils down to is this. It's a whole scenario of good cop, bad cop. Right now, the Republicans are saying, hey, listen, we don't feel this way. Hey, listen, we don't feel this way. And they're behind the scenes, they're pushing Rush out there to say whatever he wants to say without being chin-checked. And really, that's what needs to happen. If Rush Limbaugh does not speak for your party, think about your girlfriend. If she's out there saying shiesty things, you're in a club or you're out, she said, you're going to put her in check. Hey, don't say that. You're going to say, don't say that. But the Republicans are allowing this nonsense, this garbage to come out of this man's mouth, to actually say, I want our president to fail, this is absolutely bizarre. How can you encourage or say out of your mouth, blah, that I want our president to fail? I didn't like George Bush, but I sure as hell didn't want him to fail. I live here. I want the United States to remain a superpower. You know, I heard yesterday that every man, woman, and child, well, person over the age of 18 currently owes over $6,000 to China. We are in hock up to our eyeballs. This country has no money. And a very good friend of mine, Robert Stevens, says he would not, Barack Obama needs to get a spine as well. President Obama needs to get some heart. And I think he did it. I don't know how many of you saw or listen to his radio address. He does a YouTube and a radio address on Saturdays. He's getting a little hearty there. He's getting a little bit of a spine. This nice guy stuff is stopping, and he's basically saying the buck stops here. Before we give another penny to any bank, open your books. Think about it this way. We all want to be business owners. We all want to be entrepreneurs. We all want to succeed, and we all want to do well. But really, do you think the bank is going to loan us any money if they don't know our mama, our daddy, our social, our kids' social, where we go to school, mother's maiden name? My mother had to give her – my mother's name is Khadija – had to give my grandmother's a copy of my grandmother's birth certificate to get her passport after September 11th because she was traveling to Africa through London, and they refused to give my mother a passport. We need to do the banks the same way they're doing us. Open your books. And the reason I think they're not opening the books is because the banks are in much worse shape than we actually think. Let me see what's going on in the chat room. Nice to have open haters. It's the ones that don't say anything that worries me. Yeah, true. I feel the exact same way, which is why I watch Fox. I turn my stomach, and I don't watch the long stretches at a time, but I would rather them be out front so you know how to plan your defense. You can have certain mechanisms in place to defend yourselves from them and to deflect some of their bitterness and hatred if you know what they're saying. I've shared this to parents all the time when I'm out speaking. I used to take my son and this other little boy to school every day. He lived right around the corner. And my son was in a charter school in another town. And charter schools don't bust. You have to get your kids there the best way they knew how. And every day I'd say good morning. The kid wouldn't talk. You never knew what he was thinking. And my grandmother says, that's because children should be seen and not heard. And I'm like, this is bizarre. This kid is 13 years old, doesn't talk. You don't know what he's thinking. He could shoot somebody up, and they're going to say, well, he's such a nice kid. That's a crock. You need to know what people are thinking. Talk. Open your mouth. Share. That's what makes us a better people. We all have to open our mouths so we all know what's going on. I want to touch on the piece that True sent us in the chat room about the Blackwater founder / CEO resigning. But before we do that, I'm going to share with you something from the Daily Voice. For those of you who are not familiar with the Daily Voice, I am putting the link in the chat room. Okay, there it goes. I just put it in the chat room, thedailyvoice.com. Just real quick, precise. You say it pays to not watch any news. You know what? Sometimes I go on a news fast. Sometimes I really go on a news fast where I don't watch the news for a couple of days because I need to get my head clear and go back to what Saida thinks versus being influenced by these news cycles and their heavily opinionated commentators. So, yes, sometimes I do that. It was Steamy who sent that. Okay, sorry about that. Also, Precise put his blog in the chat room, preciseshyblog.blogspot.com. So big ups to Precise, everybody. Check out his blog. Sandy just put, Psy, a news fast is awesome. Oh, yeah, you have to do that. Because what happens is we get so persuaded by outside stimuli or stimulus, I'm not sure which is the right terminology, but it doesn't matter, that we lose our own identity and we lose who we are. Just imagine if you keep looking at skinny girls, this is what happens to our young girls. They're looking at these magazines, looking at these young girls, and all of a sudden they start to see themselves as so inferior if, in fact, they don't look like them. So if you're constantly watching the news, constantly watching CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and all the broadcast stations, you're going to lose sight of your true and organic opinions about the circumstances because you're being so immersed in other people's ideals. You got to take a little bit of a break about that. So yeah, I do. Sandy put, she does a people fast as well. I would encourage that too. You need to decompress from the media sometimes because the media is so opinionated. It's bizarre. You know what? Speaking to that very quickly, a friend of mine, Melissa Otu, who's absolutely a dear, she's in New York City as well. She's working on a documentary called From Zero to 90. And what it does is detail President Obama's first 90 days in office. And I actually was interviewed for her documentary. So I'm really, really excited. Once it becomes, once it starts to get flushed out and it starts to take shape, I'll send you guys snippets. For any of you who are friends with me on Facebook, I actually posted a picture from the shoot that I took last week. She's got an amazing office on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. So if anybody's looking for any editing or video production needs, hit me up and I'll forward Melissa's information. But yes, she's working on a documentary right now called From Zero to 90, and I was taped. You know, they did shoot footage of me for this documentary. So big ups to Melissa Otu for that. But let me get back to the Daily Voice. But before I do, let me see what's in the chat room. Thank you. how elegant or precise put this. You are right, Cy. This is why your show is so important. You push on an empowering agenda. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you know what it is, precise? God has given me so much. God has given me a mouth, an opinion, and people like you that tune into my show every day. And you know something? Maybe that's why today I sound so much more fired up than I do on a regular basis, because for the most part, you know, this is a cool and swervy and free-flowing show. I'm angry today. I'm angry that Rush Limbaugh has the following that he can get up and say nonsense. Just hatred and things that are very hurtful, people follow it. I've been doing this show every single day since June of 2008. And I need your help. I need your help in growing this show. I'm not trying to sound whiny or anything like that. I do my part. I try my darndest to show up every single day with an empowering agenda to help and hopefully change people's lives, or at least get them to think and say, Dag, Cy said this. Let me look at it this way. You know what is so cool? Yesterday I played the first CD from A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. And a lot of this show has a very Christian slant to it. And High Road was listening to the show yesterday. And at the conclusion of the show, he sent me a message in the chat room and said, Cy, I don't really subscribe to what he's saying. And I shared with him back. I said, neither do I. I said, there's a lot of things that are part of a new earth and the new earth concept that I don't agree with, but there are also a lot of parts of it that I think can be beneficial, and it's a situation where you have to chew the meat and spit out the fat. My audience is very diverse, so if something that is said doesn't necessarily apply to you, just respectfully say, Cy, I don't agree. And it was funny. I think he was caught a little off guard when I said, I don't subscribe to everything that's discussed in the new earth either, because a lot of it is the antithesis of Christianity. But I do believe that the concepts of meditation and prayer and looking inside are very, very important to our spiritual and personal and professional growth. So anyway, hate spreads like wildflowers. Shows about love and positive reinforcement take longer to grow and cultivate. I'm patient. I'm not going anywhere. As long as God gives me a breath every day, I'm rocking with it. You know, and so that's how that is. But I want to get to what's in the Daily Voice. The Daily Voice is called Black America's Daily News Source. So I would encourage all of you to, if you can, at least try to support, if you can, in some capacity, sharing the link, sharing it with others, the website, the Daily Voice. It's almost a small version of Huffington Post. And it has a very Huffington Post-ish swagger to it, meaning it has a lot of contributors and a lot of independent bloggers. And that's really where I think this country is going to go. Just as a quick sidebar, the Rocky Mount newspaper printed its last edition on Friday. So as newspapers continue to close and go into bankruptcy, blogs like the Daily Voice are very important for us to follow, because where black people were once shut out of that industry, we now have an opportunity to get our agenda heard and our voice heard through internet sites like the Daily Voice. Anyway, the lead story on the Daily Voice, which is thedailyvoice.com, is the headline is Rush Limbaugh Blowing Smoke. And I'm going to get into Blackwater in a minute, but let me get into this. Before I get into the story, let me just see if anything, what's in the chat room. Oh, yeah, okay. Precise said, and you can cross-reference the word from the Bible. Yeah, absolutely. He says, a new earth is truly powerful. I totally agree, just getting back to what we were talking about a second ago. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anything in the chat room. It is very powerful, and I think Christians can take a lot from it. I think it has a lot to offer it, but I encourage everybody, cross-reference it with the Bible. You know, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I don't take it literally because I believe Jesus spoke in parables, but yeah, definitely cross-reference it. Okay, now let's move this puppy right along to what's going on at the Daily Voice. I'm just going to share, read to you what was said. It's not very long, but I'm sure we have about 25 minutes left in today's broadcast, so I am going to read it, and then I would like your comments on the other side. It's written by Keith Boykin, who I absolutely adore. I watch him all the time on, like, he's a commentator, a guest commentator sometimes on cable news channels, and that's how I found out about the Daily Voice. But anyway, Keith Boykin wrote this piece. When Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele told CNN's D.L. Hughley over the weekend that Rush Limbaugh is merely, quote, an entertainer, the radio talk show host was not pleased. Yes, he's incendiary, Steele told Hughley. Yes, it's ugly, he said. Limbaugh later fumed that Steele was, quote, off to a shaky start and wasn't doing his job. Quote, you know who needs a little leadership? Michael Steele and those at the RNC, Limbaugh said. It's time, Mr. Steele, for you to go behind the scenes and start doing the work that you were elected to do instead of trying to be some talking head media star, which you're having a tough time pulling off. These days, no Republican, parenthetically speaking, with any hope of a future in the party, gets away with criticizing Rush Limbaugh, not even the party chairman. Steele later called Limbaugh to apologize and released a statement of contrition. I respect Rush Limbaugh. He is a national conservative leader, and in no way do I want to diminish his voice. I'm sure that he and I will agree most of the time, but will probably disagree some as well, which is fine. The apology played right into the hands of the White House, which has been trying to portray Rush as the face of the GOP recently, which is a very slick strategy. This is me speaking, which is a very slick strategy on their part. But anyway, as White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel told CBS's Bob Schieffer, whenever a Republican criticizes Rush, they have to run back and apologize to him and say they were misunderstood. That's exactly what happened with Steele and U.S. Rep. Phil Gingrich and others recently. Rush is king in the GOP. When President Obama first mentioned Rush Limbaugh last month in a meeting with Republican congressmen, some critics questioned the wisdom of a sitting president picking a fight with a popular talk show host. You can't just listen to Rush Limbaugh and get things done, the president told Republicans. Limbaugh, who earlier had said he hoped the president would fail, was delighted to return fire, making him a hero to diehard conservatives. But despite Limbaugh's strong following of loyal supporters, he is nowhere near as popular as Obama, and yet the conservative commentator is, no doubt, reveling in the attention. When Limbaugh spoke to the Conservative Political Action Conference on Saturday, he defended his criticism of Obama. So what is it so strange about being honest to say that I want Barack Obama to fail if his mission is to restructure and reform this country so that capitalism and individual liberty are not its foundation? Limbaugh asked rhetorically. Why would I want that to succeed? Once again, Rush was the center of attention. Last night, RNC Chairman Steele was making news by talking about Limbaugh, and Rush again, the topic of conversation on the Sunday morning talk shows. Now here's a quote. He is the voice and the intellectual force and energy behind the Republican Party, said Rahm Emanuel recently on CBS. I compliment him on his honesty, but that's their philosophy that's enunciated by Rush Limbaugh, and I think that's the wrong philosophy for America, he said. By Monday, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs had jumped into the debate calling Limbaugh, and I quote, a national spokesperson for conservative views and many in the Republican Party. In response to a question about Limbaugh's influence, Gibbs deadpanned, he's got, I understand, a very fairly popular show. Limbaugh was indignant, again, accusing the White House of trying to, quote, malign me and take me out of context and attach it to the Republican Party in general because President Obama wants no debate. It was classic Rush. It's too early to tell who will win the Obama-Limbaugh debate or if the White House will be successful in its efforts to portray Limbaugh as the face of the GOP. But the effort has painted Republicans into a corner. On one hand, they don't want to offend Rush. On the other hand, they don't want to be defined by him. It also raises challenges for the White House, which wants to be seen as tackling important issues instead of attacking easy targets. In the meantime, it seems that one person who wins no matter what happens is Rush Limbaugh. The more he gets attacked, the more attention he gets for his radio program, and that may be the point after all. And that was written by Keith Boykin, who's the editor of The Daily Voice. He's a CNBC contributor and a BET political commentator. And that was read, it's the lead story of The Daily Voice, which is Black America's daily news source. I have my comments, but let me just read what is in the chat room. Okay, let me go back. Honestly, we give Rush entirely too much credit. Word. Rush is a mess. Isn't he a drug addict? Isn't he a drug addict? Yes, yet he has so much to say and people listen. Well, yeah, the reason, here's what it is. First of all, I believe Rush Limbaugh just started his show to start a show because his show was on the air all during the Clinton years in the 90s, and he never missed an opportunity to bash Bill Clinton, not once, not ever. But what's happening is now that the Republicans have no agenda, or a very private agenda that they have not revealed to us yet, he is the only one that is speaking out to their core constituency on their core values on a very regular basis. They don't have that. And it's baffling to me why the Republicans don't just do what Barack Obama is doing, get a radio show, get on YouTube, reach the people with their message, and they're failing miserably at getting their message out there. So since this is something that Rush Limbaugh has been doing, he has an audience. They're allowing him. You know how they said in the movie Ray Charles, make it do what it do? That's exactly what they're doing, and that's why I said this is a clear example of good cop, bad cop. They don't want to be aligned with him per se, but they're not stopping him or speaking out against him publicly, which is totally bizarre. True put in the chat room, probably has political aspirations. I don't think he necessarily has political aspirations. He likes doing what he does, and that's making very inflammatory remarks and rocking with it because that's what his audience likes. That's what he likes. That's what he wants to do. It's just nuts to me that he's allowed to say these things without going checked, especially by the Republican Party. And when Michael Steele did speak out against him and say, I am the de facto leader of the Republican Party, he silenced himself with a doggone apology yesterday. Oh, my goodness, I'm so angry about this. I just can't believe it. I'm just... I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm so sorry. I'm so pissed right now. Maybe I shouldn't say that word, pissed, but I'm so pissed right now because what's happening, let's look at it from a racial perspective. I think it was very slick for them to put Michael Steele as the head of the Republican National, the RNC. What? That was a slap in the face. Okay, we're over that. Now we have two black guys. Now we've got two black guys being the face of major political parties, but one is an absolute imbecile. I wish he would at least take a page out of George Bush's playbook, which is apologize for nothing. Own it until the end. Own it until the very, very end. And so he just gave up so much of his power with that 4 or 5 line apology. He will never be able to get anything done. And Rush Limbaugh made a very valid point. Mr. Steele, in 6 months, when you start calling people for money, they are not going to be there. I guarantee you Rush Limbaugh can raise more money, and maybe just as much as President Obama. Maybe not. I take that back. Erase that last comment. But he can surely raise more money than Michael Steele can because Michael Steele doesn't even know what he's doing. And I believe Michael Steele and Roland Burris are the sorriest examples of politicians being placed in the forefront just because they're black. I've spoken with some people and say, well, at least black people are getting a shot. At what, being a scapegoat and being used as a puppet and a toy to be put in front of people to show the world, hey, we're making progress? Michael Steele doesn't speak for me. Roland Burris doesn't speak for me just because we share the same skin color. Oh, my goodness. Oh, y'all know I'm on it today. I'm so, True said, let calm head prevail. Yeah, it will, True. It's just things like this insult my intelligence and insult the intelligence of intellectual blacks. It insults our intelligence that they think we're so stupid we're going to tap dance behind these people just because we're all the same color. No way, Jose. Spike says this stuff is out of control. There was a bakery in New York that made niggerhead cookies in honor of Obama. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm I'm taking True's advice. True is probably my private life coach because he offers like the most calming advice to me. Whenever I start to get out of control, he kind of keeps me in check. He's the timekeeper for the show. He is just that guy. So I'm toning it down, True, because you said let calmer heads prevail, and I am starting to get very angry. And I'm angry because I've got two black sons who are being so misdirected by the messages that are being sent out by these politicians. It's really, really scary. It's really scary because black people and people of color that may not be as articulate as others may not know who to believe or what to believe. There was somebody very close in my family who was a very strong supporter of President Bush, who said, I question, why are you supporting Bush? Why are you supporting this war? And you know what they told me? Because he's against abortion. I thought I was going to roll out of my chair and fall over. We cannot gauge our voice and our vote by sound bites. By sound bites. And we live in such a sound bite society that if we hear them say something in 10 seconds, we automatically throw our support behind it. And now we have, and yeah, I will co-sign about the niggerhead cookies. How do we address that? Instead of me getting on the radio and, oh, rabble-rousing and getting everybody excited, how do we address that? We can't have Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson march off to the bakery. How do we fix this? I think it's not going to be fixed for probably two or three generations. I think we're going to have to ride this puppy out for about 30 years. I really believe that. And this is why. And I think this is going to be the catalyst for change. And it's up for debate. I welcome to hear what you all feel about it. But listen to this. President Obama last week said in his unofficial State of the Union address that dropping out of high school, is no longer an option. That community college should be at a minimum, that everyone should attend community college at a minimum. What happens for all of you educators out there or people that believe in higher education, education changes your perception as to how you look at things. Now, I'm sure there are some intellectual racists out there, typically lawyers, police officers, district attorneys, and the like. But let's look at this from a position of we need to change the mindset, and it's going to take many, many years before they even feel something is even wrong with making niggerhead cookies. And Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson cannot march us out of this. A march is not going to fix this, although it may be nice. But I've said before, that's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. It's irrelevant, it's moot, and I think the time has passed. We need to use new strategies to get our agenda across. We have an agenda. Our agenda is jobs. I have a 19-year-old who we cannot afford a private college. I'm putting it out there. We cannot afford to send my son to a private college. It will cost too much. Private college tuition average is $30,000 to $45,000 a year. I can't do it right now. Finding a job, thank God he has a job. But what do you offer to a kid who just graduated high school right now? And military is not a viable option. That should be our agenda, getting jobs and educating our young people, not a monkey getting shot in the newspaper, not T.I. going to jail. That stuff is taking our focus off of our agenda. And the sad part is black people really, I don't believe, have an agenda. I know President Obama wants to make this a colorless society, but the reality is it's not going to happen anytime soon. I think the color line has been blurred, and people are really starting to look at people as people, not by choice. It's because we're looking at it from a class perspective. Look, it doesn't matter if you're Puerto Rican and I'm black, or you're white and I'm black. We both don't have any money. Let's collaborate and get it together. I think economics and globalization and technology is forcing us to blur the color lines, not by anything we willingly want to do. Let me read some stuff that's in the chat room. You Americans need to stop falling for the hype of the two-party system. Well, I never believed in the two. Well, I believe in a two-party system. It's called rich and poor. And I was one of the first people that said, I don't think George Bush is a racist. And I stand by that. I really don't think George Bush is a racist. He doesn't care what color you are if your money looks like his. So, yeah, maybe it's versus green and not green, but I don't think he's a racist. And people can respectfully argue and disagree that point. But this whole two-party system, I believe they're all in it together. Kerry and Bush were part of the same fraternal organization in college where they took a secret oath to be bound together for life. So you can't tell me that they're going to effectively get up there and argue in front of each other and debate each other. It's not real. It's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. Oh, there's a blog that was put up, politicsone.com/parties. That is in the chat room for those of you that have downloaded this show through iTunes. Write this down. politicsone.com/parties. It's a guide to American political parties. Well, also, you need to pick up my book, Politics Remix, because I lay out the Constitution, voter restoration rights for convicted felons. So if you can, go to Amazon.com and pick up Politics Remix. Let me read some of the stuff that's in the chat room because there's a lot of activity. The baker said, oh, going back to the cookies, the baker said that Obama was going to get the same thing as Lincoln. Whoa, that's scary. Don Calypso writes, many people would find that other parties out there suit their political views more appropriately than the jackasses and elephants. That's funny. Al Sharpton needs to find a cause for which to picket in order to get some money to keep on affording his perm. You know what's so sad and so true about that, Don Calypso, is that the first thing the New York Post said about Al Sharpton, once Sharpton came out to speak about that cop shooting the monkey cartoon, is Al Sharpton is using this as a way to be in the media. And you know what? To a certain degree, they're right, because sometimes it seems as though he argues and raises awareness and he has a march, but where is the follow-up? Where is the follow-through? And it's not there. I don't see it. And this, please don't think this is an attack against Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton, because he's sorely needed and has been sorely needed in our community for a very long time. I just think he and Reverend Jackson need to develop new ways, get some new blood to strategize to push our collective agenda forward, or maybe start to pastor a church. Who knows? Don Calypso says, and not everyone is suited for college. You're absolutely right, not everyone is suited for college, but they need to go. It's not, whether you're suited or not, there's some things that you just have to do. And I believe as well that everybody should have at least a community college education, because the viability or the availability of jobs with just a high school education are long gone. It's not a stretch to ask you to take 2 years of continuing education. And I think it's very sad because I think our community college system has failed just as our public school system has failed. There was a young lady in my church, in my youth group, who graduated high school and could not even start our local community college. She needed remedial classes in every area before she could take regular college level courses. This should have been addressed in high school. So how is she going to go out and effectively have the analytical skills to process information at a job where technology jobs and green jobs are so prevalent? She cannot go out and work in a company, a manufacturing company, or an assembly line, because those jobs are gone forever. I believe there is a shift in thought with education. Amen. Dropping Seed Radio, that's what happens. It changes your perspective, and it allows you to look at things from a different perspective and makes you open and receptive to other ideals and values. That's all, to me, education does. It allows you to be an analytical and critical thinker and ensures that you start to develop those skills. I can look at certain things and break it down in such an analytical way. because I've been trained through college to do so. High school gets you out of high school. College develops you as an adult. And community college, I believe, should be mandated for every citizen in this country. I really do. And I don't want to hear everybody's not suited for college, because my son sold me that, went to barber school, floated a little while, and now he's having a very difficult time refocusing on a purpose. But it's very typical of teenagers these days. For this society to work, we still need electricians, plumbers, etc. You're absolutely right, but you still need to be able to think. You can no longer say, I want to be a plumber. Now everybody is self-employed. We just talked about this on Pastor Montan McDonald's radio show on Saturday. Having a side hustle is no longer an option. If you want to survive, you have to have multiple streams of income. So if you want to be a plumber, you have to know how to do your invoices, balance your books. All of these things are necessary. Because most plumbers, electricians, they don't work for big companies. I know the plumber for our house and my grandmother, he's just a guy who's a plumber. But you still need to develop skills to look at things from a different perspective. Hal Elkin says, I agree with you, Cy. He is not a racist. He's an elitist. Absolutely. I never would think George Bush is a racist. He is an elitist. And they try to paint Democratic liberals as elitists, and we are far from that, even though Barack Obama is a little on the elite side. I had a big argument with somebody one time, actually on the last radio show that I was on, because the host was big upping Michelle Obama, and I made the comment, do you think Michelle Obama actually does Sasha and Malia's hair? And she said, yeah, Michelle Obama is a good mother. I said, that's not the point. Do you think Michelle Obama actually takes care of Sasha and Malia? And she said, yes, and I said, absolutely not. Before Michelle Obama left her post to get on the campaign trail and eventually become first lady, she was making almost $300,000 a year as an executive at a hospital in Chicago. I know I was making $60,000 a year and had part-time help in my house. So do I think the Obamas were a little elitist to a certain degree? Yale, Harvard, law, come on. They're not the average Joe the plumber. My mom always told me that no matter what I wanted to do, I should get a diploma or certificate for it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that as well, which is why I made sure. My son graduated a year late. I was so embarrassed and so angry. He was proud when he walked the grass and got his high school diploma. I'm just trying to let him know that you need more than just that. Oh, how elegant put, I have 8 minutes left. Oh, my goodness, the show is over already? Wait, no. Oh, my goodness. I have somebody on 215. You guys should have told me. Caller from 215. Did you want to make a comment or have a question? I'm so sorry. I didn't even have the switchboard open. Oh, no, I guess it's somebody that's listening. Caller from 215. Wow, the show is over already. How did that happen? In the European educational system, the liberal arts portion is one's education. The liberal arts portion of one's education is covered in high school. Analytical thinking should already be taught in high school. Well, it's not. I'll tell you that. It's definitely not. 215 is Don Calypso. Can't talk, sore throat, bad flu. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anybody. We're down to the last couple minutes of the show. Just to share this with you all, my son, when he was 7, got suspended 13 times in the second grade because I was at that point teaching him to be an analytical and a critical thinker. And he got suspended because they were teaching that Christopher Columbus discovered America. And I taught my children Christopher Columbus did not discover America because by virtue of the definition of discover, people were already here, namely the Indians. And that's what I taught my children. And I taught them to think. I taught them to look beyond what they see. And thank God it works. I have raised children who think and don't always accept what they're told. Now, it has come back to bite me several times in the rear end because they're too opinionated at times. But I will tell you this. I don't want anybody selling my kids any wooden nickels. And on that note, I can't believe it. We're down to the last couple minutes of the show. That was my rant today on politics. There was so much more I still wanted to cover, and I did not get a chance to cover. I'll pick it up again next Tuesday. If you can, please follow the Daily Voice, the Daily Beast, the Politico, Huffington Post, and a host of other online blogs that offer politics from a liberal perspective. There's others out there, but I'm not even going to big those up. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Cy Brown. Also, follow my blog, cybrown.com. And for those that may be interested in life coaching, personal development coaching, or business coaching, please log on to www.impactlifecoaching.info. Remember that we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do, or any kindness that we can show, any kindness we can show to any human being, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. I'll see you all tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time at your girl Cy Brown on LifeRemixRadio.com.
As we proceed to give you what you need, as we proceed to give you what you need.
This is the Juan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie.
That's right, Cy Brown on politicsremix.com.
Say word.